is the Sensitive CEO Show, igniting sensitive entrepreneurs to grow your heart-centered business. I'm your host, Rose Cox, and this podcast shares with you inspiring and thought-provoking conversations for sensitive entrepreneurs wanting to grow a sustainable online business in a way that feels exciting and aligned with your soul. Along with my carefully curated expert guests, we share science-backed advice, proven strategies, and the systems we use to succeed in our businesses and our lives as highly sensitives, introverts, and empaths. And by the way, if you would like to be updated on when each episode is released, feel free to subscribe to the Short and Sweet newsletter. You'll also get weekly recommendations and tips, especially for HSPs, empaths, and introverts. To subscribe, pop on over to the website sensitiveceo.show or rosecox.com/pod. Now on to today's show. Hey, it's Rose, and welcome to another episode of the Sensitive CEO Show. And in this week's episode, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Randy Grasser. Randy is a professional life coach, adventurer, author, and a highly responsive man. Welcome, Randy. Awesome to talk with you today.
Thank you, Rose. It's such a pleasure to have this opportunity to talk with you and your audience. Wow. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm sure the audience would like to know, and so would I, a little bit more about what high responsiveness is and what this means for not just HSPs, but for everybody.
Well, you know, Rose, that's a really good question. And I get that asked that quite often nowadays. And I think, you know, the first thing that I see high responsiveness about is the fact that a lot of people, and myself included, have been called highly sensitive our whole lives. And we've, over the last, I guess, 20 years since Celine Aaron came out with her book and her title for it, High Sensitivity, we're starting to accept that term more and more, you know, highly sensitive person. There's still a big group out there, though, however, that mistreats that or misunderstands it. And the men that I deal with, and I primarily deal with men, because I am a man, when I say to them highly sensitive, I can see it in their facial expressions and in their eyes, this glass-shattering internal feeling. Sure. And so it sparked something in me to say, you know, like, listen, we need to do something about this. We need to change this up. So what does it mean to be highly sensitive? And highly sensitive is not about emotions. It's not about, you know, that emotional side of us. It's about our nervous system and our sensitivity to the world. And so if we can break the two of those apart, we're going to take high sensitivity and emotional being and separate the two. And I'm going to focus on the high sensitivity. And the challenge that we have with an untrained high sensitivity is that it attaches itself very quickly to the emotional being. And this is what we call a reaction. So the input or the data that we receive from our environment being a very high stimulus, more so than 80% of the population, possibly even more of that, you know, instantly triggers these emotional reactions. And what we need to put into place there is some sort of system that allows that sensitivity to go through a process that converts it into responsiveness. So we're not reacting, we're responding. Mm. And so this is what we're working on right now, is developing a program that guides people through that process. And in 15 years, I've been working on, you know, studying human behavior, traveling around the world, 50 different countries, you know, in the jungles of Cambodia to Madagascar, like learning about cultures and belief structures and why do people do what they do. And everywhere I went, I ran into highly sensitive people. But it was the cultural difference of acceptance and how they reacted. Now, there are some cultures out there, their high sensitivity, man, they wear it on the sleeves. Like it is, they don't hide it. It is like, whew, it's right out there. And so what we would like to do is we would like to focus on a step-by-step process, because we've been told you need to develop thicker skin. You know, you're too sensitive. We've been told over the years a lot of things of what we should do or who we should be, but we've never been taught how to be that. That's the missing. Okay, you know, grow thicker skin. Okay, how? How do I do that? And so that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to create a very effective program that teaches highly sensitive people how to develop their emotional management. And I mean the management part, right? And you know, talk about business, and your audience is people, entrepreneurs who are trying to start businesses, and you don't control your employees, you manage your employees.
Yeah.
Right? And that's effective business. Well, we don't control our emotions. We should manage our emotions. So that's what it's all about, is when you start looking at a business profile and you say, well, for managing people, managing them effectively, and they're being productive, then why wouldn't we do that internally? Why wouldn't we manage our resources, which is our senses, our sensitivity, and manage them to a point where we have a positive outcome, and that's a response. So high responsiveness is basically using our internal resources to come up with appropriate responses to our surrounding environment.
I love that. And I believe that there's such a need for that as well. So I love that you're on this journey to develop this program. It sounds amazing. Can you share some of the tools that we have within us already?
Oh, my goodness. I can. I think that any highly sensitive person already is aware of their tools to some degree. What I think is that they don't know how to master their tools. And so, you know, when we boil down to the biological level, or when we're talking about the science of who we are, and we look at our nervous system and how sensitive our nervous system, I often refer to it as, and this might be somewhat out of the ballpark for some people, but we have a voltmeter, which measures electricity. And so if you take that voltmeter and you go up to an electrical outlet and you stick it in there, it'll tell you how many volts that it's got. And that's 80% of the population. But then there's an oscilloscope. And if we take an oscilloscope, which is a much finer tuned instrument, and we plug it into that same outlet, it's not only going to show us our voltage, it's going to show us our voltage on multiple levels at through the sine wave that it's creating. It's going to pick up a far more detail. And that's one of the tools that we as highly sensitive people have, is we have this nervous system that picks up sensitively more of the environment. And that is our biggest tool. And we all know that as highly sensitive people. We can feel things that we can't explain. So now the 7 trillion nerves that we have in our body can't be wrong. And so this environmental stimulus that's coming in, these messages that are coming into us, are truly that. They're messages. And they're connected to other senses. We have 5 of them. You know, hey, you know, get some common sense, will you? Okay, what are the common senses? Common senses are sight, smell, taste, hearing. Not everybody has those, right? We have to appreciate that. Not everybody has those. But feeling is the 5th, not touch, feeling. And so we superficialize it by saying, you know, oh, touch is the 5th sense. No, it's not. It's feeling. And it goes much deeper than just superficial. It goes right into the core of our body. And I believe I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and we were talking about energy transmission and how some people are like, oh, that's just voodoo, mumbo jumbo, whatever. And I said to him, you know, I said, our understanding of energy transmission is like the caveman back in the early days before they discovered fire, and they saw it, and they were, some of them were like scared of it, and some of them were curious about it, and others were brave enough to go over there and try to touch it. And they got burned. They got hurt. Others actually learned to master it. And I think that's where we are as human beings with this energy transmission thing. I said, it's ironic that we can, like you and I are doing right now. I mean, you're in Australia and I'm in Mexico. And yet here we are seeing each other, talking to each other in real time. How? Through energy transmission.
Yeah.
So is it such a far step to think that we as people and our 7 trillion nerves can't pick up energy sources or energy transmission? No, it's not a far reach to think that. We can't prove it because we don't have the instruments to prove it yet, but there is a possibility that that does exist. So as highly sensitive people, we can pick up those energy transmissions from other people. You walk into a room, I feel good about this room, or I don't feel so good about this room. I think, well, something's not right.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so common. I know I didn't used to understand what that was all about when I was growing up, and even, you know, in the last 50 years or so. But when I discovered the HSP trait, it just made so much sense that, oh, okay, that's why I'm picking up. And I guess that's part of the empathy as well, being an empath, is picking up other people's emotions and, you know, why does this room feel so tense, and or why does this just feel amazing and happy? And I guess it's being in those places that make you feel good and avoiding the ones that make you feel really terrible.
You see, there's an interesting topic, Rose, right there, is because, you know, certainly, you know, from a man's perspective, we don't always have that luxury, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we often are faced in work situations where, you know, we have to endure those uncomfortable situations and try to muster our way through them, even though, you know, our entire bodies are screaming at them, our nervous systems are screaming at us, you know, get out of here, get out of here. You know, I got a family to feed. I got to stick this out. And, you know, this is my job. And we don't always have that luxury. So the idea of developing skills from the tools that you already have, you've already got the tools within you. So let's develop those tools into, how do you wield that sword properly in order to, and I'm like, maybe the sword is a bad analogy, but how do you wield that tool properly to build relationships effectively in those negative environments as highly sensitive people? And I think that's the key for many people, is they avoid, they run away, they hide from the difficult situations and simply because they don't have the skills. They've got the tools, they just don't have the skills on how to wield that tool. So,
How can you, or how does your program, or how will your program help to hone the skills that, or hone the tools, and then give people the skills that they need to be highly responsive?
Right. So really good question. Thank you for that. As you know, the program is in development. And so our expected launch date is April of next year. And so we've formed, as you've been invited to join the mastermind group. And the program itself, let me just give a little bit of history, is that it's modeled after a youth custody program that I ran back in the 90s. And that was me taking 10 young offenders, male and female, ages 13 to 18, into the wilderness of Canada for what was called behavioral modification. So these are young offenders who did not want to be there. They were court ordered to be there. They hated me, like you would not believe. And they threw rocks at me and they swung sticks at me. And my job was to get them to change their behavior. So we had a 76% success rate, meaning that 76% of the kids never reoffended after the program. And so I'm taking the essence of that program and saying, okay, how can we help highly sensitive people that want to do this, which is like my thing for me, and convert it into something productive? So first of all, you cannot do something like that under a one-person guidance, right? You need a mastermind group of people that have similar or shared interests in developing such a program. And so our mastermind group is basically, you know, a group of people that are coming together and throwing ideas on the table and experiences and everything else. And out of that is born a pathway to a program. And it starts with the blocks. And so what we've got so far is a 10-step program. And we're modeling it after, we're adding a bunch of other programs that I've been involved in. So martial arts, the Dale Carnegie Leadership Program, the Cessna Flying School Program, the Six Sigma program, Toastmasters program. So there's a lot of programs that we're integrating into the highly responsive training program. So there's 10 levels, and we're using the martial arts graduation system as a sort of recognition of success. So we start off as a white belt, and you work up to a yellow belt, and then an orange belt, and a green belt, so forth, so on, all the way up to a black belt. So if you hold a black belt in high responsiveness, you got her mastered, man. And that's sort of the stage thing. Now, each stage from white belt to orange belt is a gradual progressional step on understanding highly sensitiveness and looking at Aaron or Dr. Aaron's research and other people that have researched the what it is to be highly sensitive. But it's more than that. It's also understanding your own personal health. Like, how are you taking care of yourself? Because that is a direct connection to our sensitivity. And I'm not just talking about mental health. I'm talking about physical health. And so a lot of people need that guidance. They need that assistance to understand what do I do as a highly sensitive person? How do I take care of myself? And it might be different than a lesser sensitive person. Like we have differences in our metabolisms and our ability. Energy drinks is an example. Stop drinking energy drinks, right? But I need them to keep going. They're killing you, not just on a chemical basis, but on a nervous system basis. And here's why. And so educating the people through, we have lesson plans that they go through. We have videos that they watch and contribute to. And we also have what's called a guiding system. And it's a unique system that we've developed. And it's sort of a two-sided benefit. So a person that has graduated from an orange belt into a green belt. As a green belt, you now have the skills to assist the white belts. And so part of your training, if you want to get good at something, Rose, teach it.
That's so true.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what we do is we take the green belts and say, okay, in order for you to graduate from a green belt to a blue belt, you need to teach the white belts, only the white belts, what you've learned so far. So they're four steps ahead of them in the training program. And now keep in mind, the green belt has somebody four steps ahead of them that's guiding them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really people helping people along the way in this process. And so, you know, if a green belt runs into a struggle with a white belt saying, well, I don't understand how to do this. And the green belt struggles, he reaches up to the red belt that's guiding them and say, how do I do this? How do I tell my white belt to do this? So we've got this tiered system that's assisting each other. And then the ultimate people that everybody reaches up to is the mastermind group, the ones that built the program, the ones that designed the program, said, this is the intent. This is what we're trying to achieve. And with all programs, they have to remain somewhat flexible. Learning curves have to be gone through. And it's like a business. You know, you're going to start a business with a business plan, but that business plan has to be flexible to address the current environment to which you're experiencing and what your customers are telling you. And so the same thing goes with this program. So yeah, it's kind of, I hope that answers that question for you.
Yeah, it does. I love how it's community driven in many ways, which I think is such a key aspect about working with highly sensitive people or high responsive people, high responsiveness, which
are both. You know, the term is however you want to label it, and a label. But how do you feel about it, right? If you're comfortable with the term highly sensitive, great, awesome. You know, be proud of that. Be proud to wear that term and that label. If that label doesn't suit you, okay, well, call yourself an avocado. You know, like, you know, whatever suits you to address. And I've talked to a bunch of executives in corporations, and they're very interested in this because there's a lot of attrition that's going on in employees and the fact of emotional challenges. And what's happening is they're losing employees for two reasons, primarily. There's a bunch of them, but there's two reasons. One is that, you know, the workplace is overwhelming to the employee and they're bottling up all these emotions and they don't know how to deal with them. And I'm not just talking about highly sensitive people. I'm talking about people.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the employee has an eruption of nerves and emotions, and they're embarrassed and they quit as an embarrassment. And then you have also the employee that can't manage their emotions properly and has a lack of emotional control, and it disrupts everybody else. And then they're let go because of that. And it costs the corporations, the companies, a lot of money to change out all the time. You've always put a lot of training in you. And now, and so this is a valuable resource for them in the fact that, you know, hang on a second, we train you guys how to use Excel. We train you how to use Microsoft Word. You know, we train you how to do this stuff. Why not let's train you on how to handle your emotional states better, right? And so I think that's an emerging field that is going to be needed, especially after the pandemic and a lot of people are lost and you know, they've been isolated and they're going through a lot of stuff right now. We recognize that.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now in different aspects of the world, which is exciting in many ways, I believe. I can feel a lot of goodness coming out of what's going on right now.
Yeah,
good. I'm really curious, Randy. You mentioned earlier that some of the cultures that you visited on your incredible travels, some of them wore the high sensitivity on their sleeves. Can you share which cultures and why do you think that is?
Okay, so the one that is most predominant to me is Iraqis.
Mm.
When I'm in Iraq, so you know, I spent 6 years in Iraq, and you know, wonderful, wonderful people. Absolutely amazing people. And part of the amazement of these people is the fact that they wore their emotions literally outside their bodies. Like this, they had no emotional control, and nor did they need any emotional control. Hey, if I'm upset, I'm upset. If I'm happy, I'm happy. And they allowed their emotions to be, you know, expressed in every way possible. And we as Westerners, we see that as, you know, savage or, you know, like, oh, you get control or whatever. And the reality is that we bottle up our emotions. And I talk to a lot of men and I'm like, you know, you dam up. That's what I call it, the damming of emotions. And when we dam up these emotions inside of us, that force behind that dam is building more and more and more and more. Well, I don't care how engineered that dam is, there's going to be a breaking point. And often what happens is when somebody says something and completely out of context, that could be that one drop of water that breaks that dam. And all that bottled emotion then comes up and people stand back and go, where is this coming from? Like, what? And it's because we hold it in us. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't hold it just like, hey, man, this is great. And they live great lives. You know, I'll bet the environment that they're living in is not so great. But from a peaceful internal point of view, they don't bottle up these emotions like we do.
Mm.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think that there could be some room for emotional management in that. You know, sometimes we have to be a little bit, you know, civil.
Yes.
But, you know, so there's a happy balance between bottling up or damming up all these emotions internally and then just letting them wildly express, you know, without concern or how they're affecting anybody around us. And that's the highly responsiveness training. It's the management of your emotions connected to the sensitivity of your body.
Mm. And I think another thing about bottling up emotions or damming them up can cause illness in the body because it's festering somewhere in the body. So that's, I think it's such a big thing that people, they probably understand internally, but they don't understand how to fix it and how to be more open and let the emotions out. And even, you know, it could be personal, such as journaling. You don't have to let emotions out in front of another person, but you could journal. Or I've heard some great ones. You can throw plates in the back garden, you know, sort of away from people just to get those emotions out. There's lots of ways you can get rid of that pent up anger or whatever it is inside.
Absolutely. And you know, the studies that I've done, the research that I've done is, and again, I'm going to more specifically talk about men. You take men in construction as an example, and the guys, the laborers, the ones that are actually, you know, picking up the hammers and the shovels and the physical ones that are out in the field, they're the ones that, you know, when you're out in the workforce, they're not happy-go-lucky. And it's all good, man. It's all good. It's the management that is all tense and they're all bottled up and they're all stressed up and everything else because there's no release for them.
Mm.
And they say, Gordon, is when they argue with each other and they confront with each other, but there's no physical release for them. You know, some of them sure go to a gym and they try to, you know, work out those emotions through the gym, through that physical exercise. But is that enough, right? No, it's not enough. And so, yeah, there has to be ways of emotional release. But I also, when I talk about this dam, I mean, if we can install floodgates into that dam and allow those floodgates to manage the pressure. Okay, hang on, hold on, hold on. Don't say that. Okay, now you can let it go, right? And this is what we're trying to express, is that there is a management system that can be installed that controls the levels to an appropriate level given the environment you're currently in.
Mm. I love the analogy of the floodgates. I can visualize that. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I've loved our conversation today. There's probably so much more I can ask you. But before we wrap up, I have one question that I ask all of my guests. When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do?
Well, there's a few things that I do. And I know this is a podcast and so people can't see me, but I have tattoos, and so my tattoos represent something very deeply meaningful to me. And, you know, the one side of my tattoo is what I call the dragon, and the other side of my tattoo is the angelic side. And so when I get overwhelmed, frustrated, or whatever, I look at that tattoo and I focus on it, and I say, that's what you need to have right now. You need to have the angelic side. You need to possess that control, but in a soft way, or the dragon needs to come out right now. You need to defend yourself. You need to protect yourself. And so sometimes when we get overwhelmed, it's not about backing off into the corner and being that angelic, cowering, you know, afraid person. It means learning the skills to stand up appropriately and effectively to defend what's right. And as HSPs, we often don't want to get into competition, and therefore we run away. And I don't mean physically run away, but we back down and we cower down. And that's just not always the right thing or the most appropriate thing to do. So that's what I do. So I remind myself through these tattoos that, what do I need to call upon right now? You know, soft to me, and again, we all have it in us, right? That softer angelic side. Or do I need to call upon the dragon right now and say, listen, hang on a second, right? You're being a little bit, you know, out of line. We need to straighten this out, you know, but let's do it on an appropriate level. Enter the angelic side, right? Mm. Dragon comes out, settles things down, okay, put them back in the cage. Now let's talk about this as human beings and let's be reasonable about it. So
I love that. Love that. And it goes with you everywhere because the tattoos. So they're always with you. That's brilliant. Well, yeah. It's been so lovely talking to you and so fascinating hearing about the program for April next year. And I'll be popping your links in the show notes where people can find you to learn more. But is there anywhere specific that you would like people to reach you at if they have questions and want to know more?
Yeah, so I have an email address that people can use, and it's sp@thelivingadventure.com.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a Facebook site that they can go to, and it's, again, just look up The Living Adventure. And I also just started a YouTube channel, and that's The Living Adventure as well.
Fantastic. Well, I'll pop all of those links into the show notes so people can reach out to you. Thank you again, Randy. Always lovely catching up with you.
Yes, it's a pleasure, Rose. Nice to see you again. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Sensitive CEO Show. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you think it would be useful to someone else, please leave me a review on sensitiveceo.show. Just follow the prompt in the menu. Each month, I'm offering one lucky reviewer a chance to win a one-hour business and mindset audit with me. This in-depth audit covers the five pillars of your online business, and you'll walk away with super clear action steps specifically for you and your business. You'll be re-energized and motivated to step into your greatness. You'll also find all of the show notes for each episode on the website sensitiveceo.show. And while you're there, make sure you subscribe to the Short and Sweet newsletter. You'll get weekly recommendations and tips, especially for HSPs, empaths, and introverts. And as the name implies, the email is short and sweet. The Sensitive CEO Show, igniting your sensitive superpowers.